This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
And we welcome Lola in to Joy this morning. Hi, Lola. How are you?
Hi, Leanne. Hi, Chris.
Lovely to have you with us.
Thank you.
I like and that's it. Just your spare time, huh? Doing all of that stuff.
Yes, of course.
So, Lola, could we start perhaps at the beginning? Tell us a little bit about growing up, where you grew up and your childhood and early life.
I was born in St Kilda. And when I was about 11, we had to move to the country, and I was always had my initials were LES, so I think the writing was on the wall quite early. And I nicknamed myself Bobby when I was about 12. And
Why did you?
Because I was a tomboy. I always wore jodhpurs as they were in those days, and gumboots. They didn't have jeans and sneakers.
And you like being called Bobby. Did your family call you Bobby as well?
I don't remember that. They probably didn't. Or they might have indulged me. They probably did indulge me thinking about it. And then when I was 13, because I was a rebel and I was stuffing my bed at night and climbing out the window and going down to the movies, my father was... They reported this to my father, and he said, and because I was also playing with children I'd never met before, they were working people's children, and I had a very liberal, big L liberal, and quite wealthy upbringing, and my father said that I was getting to be a pale pink, which
a communist.
Yes, dear.
Dealing with those workers.
Because I was asking him why they lived like they lived in houses that were painted black so the coal dust didn't show on it.
Whereabouts, can I ask you?
It was your lawn.
Oh, so really,
Yeah, and the town that was owned by the SEC.
That's right.
So he sent me to boarding school in Melbourne, which I hated. I actually liked it because it was during the war and we were allowed a bath every second day, and so we got, so that we would get a bath every day, some of us would actually sneak in and bath together. That was fun.
How old were you at this stage?
13 through to 16.
Oh, delicious.
We're in drought now. I think this could be a new water conservation technique that you've come up with.
Shower with a friend.
I hated the... I suppose I'm a horse in Chinese horoscope, and horses like to be free. Yeah. And so I couldn't bear the rules and regulations. And I used to sneak out and I used to go up and watch the boys in Caulfield Grammar play football. I was always getting into trouble. Although I was a shy child, I still got into trouble. I still can't bear being told what to do. Hate it.
This is an interesting... I mean, you hear about people being sent to boarding school because they might have a bit of... problem with authority or structures or whatever, and they put them into the worst environment. And I mean, surely someone would learn that that's the wrong thing to do. So
boarding school's fun today, though, I can tell you.
Compared to those days. Yeah. What about academically, that side of things?
This was a very academic school, and that was the reason I was sent there, actually, because there was no mention of my being married. My father always said that we had to go to university and have a profession. I was never pressurised to have
married. So he was a pretty liberal thinker.
Yeah, very. And unfortunately, he died when I was 16, I left school because the people that advised my mother didn't say you can go to a high school. It just wasn't done, you know. So you either went to a private school or you left. And so I left and I became more outrageous. This was the time of...
What sort of things? More?
Well, don't forget...
I'm already up to 16.
This is 48, 49.
Okay, and, so just after the war?
Yeah, and women weren't allowed to belong to surf lifesaving clubs, so because I've always been very sporty. And I surfed, but you weren't allowed to belong to a surf lifesaving club, but you can belong in the bay as a lifesaver. And also I sailed, and women weren't allowed to belong to sailing clubs except for two of them in the bay. And, of course, like a lot of girls, I lost my virginity in the sandhills at Torquay. And in those days you were either a whore.
Careless of you.
You were either a bad girl or a good girl in those days. So
I think you're turning down the bad girl.
Yeah, I was. But it was scary. And so I knew this guy, and I was very lustful, and we got married. I mean, I pretended I faked virginity, actually. It was quite clever.
Oh, he wasn't the sand dune boy?
No, he wasn't the sand dune boy. No. I didn't want any more to do with him. And I got married at 19.
Okay. Cause, and I guess in those days too, if you're passionate about someone, you sort of got married. You didn't sort of move in or have, you know, a relationship that involved a sexual relationship. The done thing was to get married.
Well, I didn't actually do that. I did sleep with him for many months, actually, at home.
Before. At home with your mum.
Yes. And I said to my mum, in the end, I knew we had to get married because that's what you did, you know. Mm. And I said to my mum, I either marry him or I'll go away and live in sin. And, of course, I mean, that was the most shocking thing he could do.
Yeah.
And he was Catholic, I wasn't, so we found a Methodist minister who married us at home, which was most unusual in those days. And as he was saying, you must not drink, we were saying no, pushing him out the front door, and all the lifesavers were pulling the barrel of beer in the back.
I was going to say, I can't see a dry, dry turn for lifesavers.
No. So after 17 years, I left him.
Okay, well, we might get back to what happened after, during those 17 years and specifically after that.
And that's the original version from Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2. Of course, on Joy 5 CD, we actually had the Eric Prydz versus Pink Floyd remix, which you might know under the name of Proper Education.
Proper Education.
You're with Chris and Leanne on Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Now, the reason we played Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2, was because our guest in the studio with us in our Journey segment is Lola McCugg, who was telling us a little bit about her growing up and being a bit of a rebel. And Lola, you chose this song for, I guess, a reason. It brought back some memories for you about certain things. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, first of all, if you're playing it in the car, or if you're playing it at home, it has to be played at absolutely top volume. Your car's got to rock.
Yep. So you're the one with the doors also going
right.
in and out.
The boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
I just love this song.
Well, I know we were playing it when I got to the bit that said, teacher, leave those kids alone, you're shouting. Does this sort of just take you straight back to boarding school?
Oh, yeah. You see, when I was in primary school, I used to be able to manipulate the teachers a bit, especially when I was living in that country town, because my father was the top dog in the town. Uh-huh. And the teachers used to let me do what I wanted to.
Uh-huh.
When there was a bushfire once, they were keeping all the kids in the school, but I insisted that I leave and they let me leave. But when I got to boarding school, it was such a shock that suddenly the teachers were very, very strict. And
your charm didn't work, or your connections didn't work.
Neither worked. No. So this should have been made then. Pink Floyd should have been around when I was a teenager.
Yes. Now, the kids in the car, not yours, but they're your grandkids, are they?
They're my grandchildren, yes, and his friends. And I really think that all teenage kids should listen to this.
Yep, for sure. So we actually heard before that music track that you were married at 19.
Yes.
Obviously had children
very quickly. Yes, three children very quickly.
And you sort of settle down into a domestic lifestyle?
No.
Silly me.
It was, I hated it. I had a very, very jealous husband. In fact, one of the tracks that I used to play top volume then was Don't Tell Me What to Do, Don't Tell Me What to Say.
Oh,
you don't
know
me.
Don't tell me what to do.
Was
it Dusty?
Yeah.
Do you reckon it might have been Dusty?
I think I wore it out.
Yes. Well, this obviously shows us, the listener will gather from all this, that you're a voice, you're a person not to be put in a corner and told to shut up.
Baby in the corner.
No. but this, you haven't restricted yourself to just family matters, your own personal life. You've been out there talking and demanding things on behalf of other people.
Yes, actually, when I was walking up here this morning, I was rather sad to see a poster asking people to take part in a rally for abortion rights, and it made me sad because I thought of all the times that I used to protest in the streets and we used to, you know, be roughed up about abortion rights. Mm. And it, all 30 years later or 38 years later, it's happening again.
It's all the same issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sort of makes you wonder how far we've come.
That makes me sad. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And you've been an advocate for other people, other things in life?
Yes, I've been an advocate for the last 22 years for disadvantaged people, particularly people who don't have adequate housing. That's really important for people to have housing.
But in Australia, we have magnificent houses. Mm. How do you compare us to the rest of the world?
I think that we don't treat our disadvantaged homeless people correctly. I think that there's far more public housing in other countries, and we need more here, more innovative public housing for people, not those dreadful tower blocks, which become ghettos, really.
Shows the mothering in your heart is still strong, even at your delicate young age.
Chris, use mothering? Another word than mothering.
Please. That's care and passion.
Care
and
passion. I mean, well, you sound as though you would stand in front of a truck for these sort of issues, and that's what a mother would do.
Yeah, I would. I mean, yeah, look, I've been in jail up in Roxby.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was about uranium mining, yes, and we had a women's... we all lay down on the ground, tied ourselves up with ropes and sang until they arrested us, yes.
Great. I hope they got a shot of that. Have you got a photo?
No,
haven't got a photo?
Nothing like
opportunity?
That.
Opportunity? Damn.
No. And that was just before we went to Africa. So I wasn't sure whether I was going to be allowed on the plane or not.
Yeah, because of your conviction. So this is post-marriage?
Yes. At 37, I had a breakdown and I tried to commit suicide and I left my husband,
So that was all...
It was a violent marriage,
So that's difficult. So you were with him for quite some
17
time.
17 years. But there was no... you didn't have pensions then, single-parent pensions.
Right, so you had three kids and I guess you had to look after them.
Yeah, and we also lived in a house that was supplied with his job.
Oh, okay.
So, I had nothing.
Yeah, it's very, very, very difficult.
That is a tough life, and especially reflected upon your own origins as well.
Yes. We were poor at times.
No, I don't know whether the general community has the sense of poverty. You can buy things on credit and, okay, you've got to pay for it eventually, but you can lead actually a fairly reasonable lifestyle these days on your credit card, unfortunately, whereas I think in the times you're talking about, you didn't buy something unless you had the cash.
That's right. I mean, we had newspaper for toilet paper.
Lay-by would have been the most sort of nearest thing to credit, but most people wouldn't even do that.
It's food that's the most important thing.
You can't lay-by your dinner.
Yeah. My sister sent me a food parcel once that was fantastic.
that's hard times. Well, we'll get back to you after these few messages. The Ballad of Lizzie Jordan. Now, you're on Saturday Magazine with Chris and Leanne, and we're in our Journeys segment at the moment, and we've got Lola Mahagin with us. And Lola, before that break, we'd actually talked to her, I guess, at a very difficult time in your life. You were 37. You decided to leave your marriage that had been very difficult, and you had your children. Can you continue from there and perhaps tell us why you chose to play that particular track by Marianne Faithfull as well?
That also needs to be played at full volume, of course. yes, because at the age of 37, unlike poor old Lucy, I didn't succumb to an overdose, and my life began to be up from there on. Which was
good.
Fantastic.
Pleased to hear it. Didn't go to Paris.
I did,
Oh, did you?
I hitchhiked to Paris once.
Oh, my God.
I did go to Paris. In my 40s, I went back. It was the Whitlam years. Mm-hmm. So I went back to school and did year 12 and then 3 years of an arts degree. And then eventually I did postgrad, and my daughter was a year below me and my son was a year below that. So we were all mature age students in the same place, which is
sharing books.
And that was absolutely fantastic, being a full-time, having the luxury and the privilege of being a full-time student. A lot of women went back at that time. Mind you, I was probably the oldest one there in my 40s. A lot of them were in their 20s. So I guess I've always been...
These are the days of free education.
Yes, it was fantastic.
And of course, this was personal development on your place, because presumably there was no job at the end of your qualifications.
No, not really. No. And also it was the time when the women's houses were in Melbourne, and so I was going to all the women's houses in the early 70s and being very involved in, I became a radical feminist, I suppose. And in fact, my oldest son says that I cut my feminist teeth on him, which is pretty horrible.
I quite like the sound of that, actually.
So they were, yes, they were great times. And I remember one of the places was the old Thumping Tom. The Thumping Tom used to be a disco.
Yep.
And I used to go there and I used to look at the dykes there that had the trousers and the ties and the butch haircuts. And I was frightened of them, but I loved them.
a morbid fascination.
Yeah, because at that time I think I might have been living with a male and I had male children. And, of course, males were not allowed into one's life.
Very so, separatist.
Yeah. It was very separatist. And I thought I'd like to be one, but I realised there was no way I could be. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing postgrad towards the end of the 70s, I was doing it in New South Wales. I was a tutor there because you get a flat when you're older, and it was postgrad. But the women, their initiation was being put on the milking machines. It was an agricultural college.
Oh, joking.
And the boys had to go down the sheep dip pits. And it was, they didn't like me, I was too radical for them. I used to have bare feet and long plaits and wore a sarong and played Leonard Cohen and smoked dope and lay on the field, because it was Richmond and, you know, there's an air base there. I used to lie on the oval and watch those planes go over, which was just like the TARDIS, you know.
Yeah, hey man, check out the flying cow.
Yeah, Doctor Who, come in, you know. And then eventually they moved me out to Skye, which was there off campus, because they said I would be more, oh, you had to wear a jacket to your dinner.
Yes.
And I didn't, I wouldn't. And I had bare feet, and they used to bang the table like that with their knives and forks if you didn't comply. Rules
again. Sounds like military.
Yeah, it was again. And so then when I went out to the other place, I used to keep the kids' bongs in my wardrobe.
This is your kids?
No, the young kids are there. And so in the end, look, after 6 months I left, I couldn't handle it anymore, but I fell in love with a woman there.
So you were meant to go to Skye. Yeah, there was a reason.
Yeah, and it was actually a threesome. There was a guy and me and her. And
we're talking the 70s, kids, aren't we?
Yes,
we're talking
very laid back 70s.
Flower people. Yeah.
And it was awful because, you know, I didn't want him in the equation. But anyway, there you go.
A means to an end.
Yes, a means to an end. And so when I came back to Melbourne, I was very confused about my sexuality and tried males again, and it just didn't work. Mm. And so I took off travelling. And so for about the next, I don't know, 8 years or 6 years or something like that, I travelled. I went to India by myself to find my fourth state because I thought I was going to die, and I gave away all my belongings and travelled.
Pretty radical reaction. Yeah. It's interesting, you know, Lola, saying that you've been very forthright and outspoken and whatever, but it seems that in terms of something quite personal and the parts of you that either escaping or searching, it's a bit... So I guess two sides of the same coin, that it was difficult for you to go through
that? It was extremely difficult until I hit about 55 and I was 54 and I was working in a feminist women's refuge. Mm. And that was absolutely fantastic. It was so good. And Donna Jackson, who's the most amazing woman, said to me, Lolly, you can... tenure because, you know, other people had to come and work. So she said that let's have a play about domestic violence but make it amusing because you get the message through when it's amusing.
Yes.
And I said, I'll take part so long as I can't sing, so long as I don't sing, dance or talk. And I ended up doing the whole lot. And we travelled, we took that on tour, including to Western Australia, and then I joined an outrageous cabaret, which was Cinderella Goes to Willie Beach, I think it was called, which was very camp. And we took that, we got booed off the stage in the valley in Queensland.
Well, that's a sign of success, isn't it?
And my son was sitting at one of the tables, he said he nearly got into a fight. And we toured all over Victoria with that, so that was fantastic times. And since that time, I've come to really I've become very peaceful in myself.
Yeah, it sounds like you're comfortable. I think to perform, people need to be comfortable with themselves as well. So those intervening years, sort of from your 40s into your 50s, that was your travelling and your searching and trying
very
to reconcile.
Yeah.
So you did have any relationships during that time with women?
No, I didn't. But I did in the late 80s, of course, and then in the 90s. I fell in love several times.
So even though you're talking about being Bobby when you're a tomboy and some of the attractions around, I guess, athletes and bathing with your school friends and those sorts of things, it was still a difficult...
There was an episode when I was a young mother with a woman, but it was still very scary for me. Those 80s years and the latter part of the 80s years were fantastic. And I had the famous tattoo on my left shoulder during those years because I was free.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you've got
free.
The butterfly, though?
Yes.
No,
a bird.
A silver bird.
Absolutely free. It was fantastic. And it just gets better getting older. And something you said earlier on, it's interesting because I think everybody says what I'm going to say now. Everybody that's older, like I'm going nearly 78, even though you are that age chronologically and you look in the mirror and you see all the wrinkles and you think, my God, inside your heart or inside whatever's in there, you don't feel that age. And I think people are always shocked, or not shocked, but surprised when we older people come out with something that you wouldn't think that an older person would say. I see kids looking at me in the train and I think they must think I'm a cranky old woman, because I think in repose my face does look cranky.
But inside, you've still got the hopes and the dreams and the humour and the
and
love.
I can look at them and think, aren't they good? Aren't they cute? Aren't they fantastic?
I know when we talked earlier, you're very much involved in your grandson's lives and get a lot of energy from doing that.
Absolutely.
So you said to me also that you finished work very recently.
Yes, I retired 9 days ago.
Oh, well.
Congratulations.
So
the ripe old age of 77.
Yes. It was pretty... it wasn't traumatic as I thought it would be.
Mm, you're ready, maybe.
Well, I've always been passionate about the people I worked with who were disadvantaged, and I never thought I could leave them. So I took long service leave beforehand, and that was a sort of a distancing myself. That was much easier. But there is so much to do.
Yeah.
So much to do.
So what's on your list of things to do?
Well, my grandson goes into year 12 next year. I'm teaching him to drive. So I've already told him that next year really is his year. For the driving, you know, he's going to get all these hours up. He's done 60, so it's the driving.
So what's that? You get in the car, you start the engine, put Pink Floyd into the CD player.
Well, no, not when he's driving. It's all right when I'm driving, but not him. He's not allowed to have it above 8. He plays his music, but not above 8. And I'm a lead foot, so I do understand the, wanting to be a lead foot, so... So, and also he's a very good footballer, and it would be really lovely if he went into the draft next year. So I'm ready to drive him to any sports
fantastic.
He's got to go to. He does all sorts of sports. So, yes, next year's his year, actually.
Okay.
And then after that, he's on my own. It's my time.
All right.
Marvellous. And what's on your list for your own personal aims?
I'd like to go to Heron Island. That's one place I really would like to go to. But I've travelled so much. I was in Africa for a year. I've travelled in India a lot. I used to take groups to India. I was a tour guide. There's really not many places I really want to go back to overseas. I'm happy to stay in Australia. There's so much to see here. And to be quite honest, why I'm really happy is my friends and my family, and they mean a huge amount to me. I have a lot of friends, very dear friends, and I'm really just happy seeing them. I'm going to the Italian Film Festival this afternoon with one of them.
Yep, great.
My life's really quiet, but I'm
quiet.
I enjoy it.
Quiet but busy. I was going to say, what's the secret of success? Is keeping active and keeping
going
stimulated.
To gym, going to gym.
Yep.
Reading as much as you can, being involved with the community. My community where I live in St Kilda, East St Kilda is fantastic.
So you're back to St Kilda. I was going to ask you if that had gone
I'm in East St Kilda
circle.
Now, yes.
Yeah.
So community, friends, family.
Yeah, and just getting out there, being amongst
all
it
the time.
And living life. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much for coming in. We've been talking with Lola McCarg, who don't really want to define you in any way, actually, by saying you're a whatever.
No. Inspiration.
You're a wonderful woman. So
thank you. That's lovely.
So thank you so much. You're on Saturday Magazine with Chris and Leanne on Joy 94.9.
And it's time for us to pack up the shop and make way for Detours.
It is, and we've got the news coming up with the other Chris as well. And we've had Cam out there on support while the floors are being polished.
It's marvellous.
It is.
So we'll be, Saturday Magazine will be with you next week at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. You'll be on, Leanne, will
no,
you?
No, I think I'm actually having a rest next week. I've done about 4 or 5 weeks in a row, so I'll give everyone a break from my muddle old tones.
Thank you for being with me, Leanne.
My pleasure, Chris. It's been a joy.
Cheerio, listeners.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.